Your goodness is running after you. I'm
blessing God.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing that
you are the same God.
'Cause all our lives he has been faithful, with hands lifted all over this room. And all our lives he has been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing that you are the same God.
You are the same God.
Forever and ever, forever and ever. Forever and ever, forever and ever. You are. Forever and ever, forever and ever. You are. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. And oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Sing you are
the same
God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. And oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. One more time, you are
the same God.
Church, if you really believe that, can we lift up a shout of worship to our same God? Our faithful God. Hallelujah.
Let's just make room for him this morning in this next song.
Surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want to.
of all my traditions, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my traditions, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is
with hearing the voice of God and trying to understand His voice from our own. And I think one of the problems is that our lives are so full of these distractions, and we get so consumed in all that's going on and all that we want to do, all that we want to accomplish. We never really just allow the Lord to vacate and feel those spaces, to vacate those spaces of that brokenness, to vacate those spaces of those insecurities. We never really allow the Lord to enter into our hearts, enter into our lives. A lot of us, we lift up our hands, right? We worship the Lord, but if we're really honest, we're not really walking with Him because we don't trust Him with our brokenness. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying that some of us are holding on to our brokenness because we're afraid that it'll happen again. We're afraid that life will destroy us. We're afraid that God will leave us, that God will abandon us. But this morning, I pray that His voice is as audible and as clear as it's ever been, and that you hear Him just asking for you to make room. The Bible tells us that He stands at the door and knocks, meaning you have to allow Him in. Pastor Joel and I were talking probably about last weekend or maybe 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about that scripture, and he said, Corey, man, I'll be honest with you. I took the door off the hinges. I just let the Lord come and go as he pleases. And I think this morning some of us just need to take the doors off the hinges and allow him to really make room, to make our hearts his home.
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where you lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Can we lift our hands one more time? But this time, as you lift your hands, I want you to lift them in the sign of surrenderance. Lord, I've exercised all my options. I've tried every way but yours. Father, make your home my heart. Make your home my life. May we be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Christ Jesus. May we be holy and acceptable. And Lord, the only way we'll be holy is if we allow you in. So Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that your sons and your daughters stand in need of, whatever it is that is taking over and consuming their space, where they don't have time to hear from you, where they don't have the place, or there's so much noise, there's so many distractions. Father, I ask that you clear them now in the name of Jesus. Father, may their hearts yearn and desire your words. May their hearts yearn and desire your presence. Father, we need a Savior now more than ever. Father, we're not asking you for things. We're not asking you for materials. Father, this morning, in this very moment, we are only asking that your Holy Spirit dwells in this place. Father, your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, Father, may your Spirit dwell in our hearts, so that may be freedom that lives inside of us. May your Spirit dwell in our hearts, so there may be healing inside of us. May your Spirit dwell in our hearts, so there may be peace inside of us. And Father, not a worldly peace, not an earthly peace, but a peace that surpasses all understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus.
So God, we make room for you to do whatever you want. To do whatever you want.
Let's lift that up.
Sing, I will make room for you. Oh, 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 to do whatever you want. To do whatever you want to. Yes, I will make room for you. To do whatever you want. One more time, I will make room
for you,
for the sacred and sovereign Savior,
to do whatever you want,
to do whatever you want to,
to do whatever you want
to, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. We welcome you, we welcome
you.
We welcome you, we welcome
you.
Do whatever you want to.
Do whatever you want
to. Do whatever you want.
I just feel his peace sweeping through this place.
It's your peace, Jesus. You are God. There is none like you. There is none like you.
Church, if you believe that there's nobody like our God this morning, can you show it by clapping your hands, by lifting a sound? Amen, amen, amen. I don't doubt in my mind that the Lord is truly with us this morning. You guys can be seated for just a second. Good morning. So, hey, for you guys that we have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Corey. My friends call me Corey, so you can call me Corey too. I have the privilege and the honor of being our student pastors here, our student pastor here. There is only one of me, praise God. Y'all, can y'all imagine? Imagine two of me. We would be lit. No, but on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy Phillips, we want to welcome you guys to Carpenter Shop this morning. For those of you who are watching us online, we want to thank you for joining us. Listen, I say it every week because I mean it every week. We don't believe that you are here by coincidence or by chance. We believe that the Holy Spirit ordained for this moment just for you, that there's a word that is going to be preached, that is going to be delivered, that is going to be just for your situation this morning. Amen. Hey, y'all. Oh, y'all look good. Hey. I mean, okay, so let me be clear. It's not that I don't look at y'all usually. It's just I kind of glare, you know. I also be looking at that time because Miss Denise usually gives me a time limit because I talk too long. So I just be trying to stay in my time limit, praise God. So just a couple announcements this morning. Before we get into those, though, I know for those of you who may not know and those of you might, last weekend we honored and celebrated a time in our country for veterans, for those of us that have sacrificed or that are still currently sacrificing. And so before we move on in our service, I just want to take a moment to recognize any veterans that are with us this morning. If you guys just want to stand, just so we can honor you this morning. Amen. Amen. Church, can we really give it up for these, our church family that were willing to sacrifice? Listen, from a baby vet to the OG vets, because y'all were probably in the game a lot longer than I was. The sacrifice that you guys made, a lot of people don't understand, right? A lot of people don't understand when you had to leave your families, when you had to accommodate your schedule. So on behalf of our church family, thank you, thank you, thank you for your service. I'm going to tell y'all about my basic training experience. So the time, 2014, I was not going to tell y'all because y'all going to say, oh, Corey, you're such a baby. I'm not going to tell you how old I was. You do the math. I was fresh out of high school. I went to basic and cried. Cried all the way there. Had to cry silently because I didn't want to draw attention. Because this is my first time leaving home. And I was one of those kids that watched the military movies, right? And it always seems like the folks who went to the military were like, football. Like, they were built for that. Y'all, I was skinny, much skinnier than I am now. I know it's a little, I got to turn certain ways now to look a certain way. I was skinny with a big head. That is not your ideal Army soldier, right? But then I got there, went through some of the trainings, and basic really wasn't that bad. But I think I learned one of the biggest lessons that I hold on to now that I think can relate to a lot of us. My drill sergeant, you know, because for you vets, you guys know those moments where the drill sergeants were like, cool. You know, it was rare. It was rare. But the moments where they talk to you like a person. One of my drill sergeants told me, he said, Balance, if there's anything you ever take away from this experience, never get comfortable in the state you're in. And as a 17-year-old, I told y'all my age, that didn't make sense because I was like, I'm just trying to go home. Like, I'm about to start school when I get back. You know, not thinking. But being a little older, I think a lot of times we get so complacent. And why? What does that have to do with us? I think a lot of times as believers, we get so con- consumed and content with what the Lord has already done, that we stop believing him to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so I'm not sure why I was led in the direction of sharing that, but whoever that may be for, don't get complacent in what the Lord can do. Because things aren't done in your will, things aren't done in your strength. We do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So don't get content in the wonder of the Lord, because he can still do it. Amen. All right, so really quick, two announcements. On December 2nd, we will be having our women's Christmas gala. It is on the screen behind me. Listen, it is for the ladies. Guys, I tried. I petitioned. I might start a protest. So if y'all want to meet me outside on December 2nd, I'll be there. But listen, this is a perfect time for the ladies of our church and the ladies of our community to come together and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior and do it with each other. Community is important. Amen. And it's $20 per person. Our speaker is none other than Pastor Brenda Adams. Y'all, we go through this every Sunday. Pastor Brenda, stand up for me, please, if you don't mind. Stand up for me so the people can see that she's in the room. Jeez. But no, it's going to be a great time. Y'all should definitely come. Cool? All right, one more thing. On December 10th. I get it right, Rico? December 10th. Ha! Look at y'all didn't even notice I ain't have my phone. I'm up here remembering dates. That's crazy. December 10th, we'll have our Christmas sing-along here at 5 o'clock p.m. Listen, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. Of course, the team, we're going to be here. Our kids are going to be here. Some of our favorite people from our community are going to be joining us. It's going to be a great time. Y'all should come. Y'all should definitely come. And it's not just for men or women. Everybody can come. I'm still going to petition. December 2nd, we'll be out there. All right. That is all of our announcements. So the next part of our service is a part where all of us can participate, and it's our worship through giving. If you guys look on the screens behind me, there are several ways you can give. You can also bring your gifts to the altar this morning. So I'm going to pray. The team is going to come back up, and we are going to keep going in our worship experience. Is that cool? All right, y'all. I love when y'all respond. It makes me feel like I'm talking to people. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to laugh. We thank you for the opportunity to just be in community, to experience you in a way that we've never done before. Father, I thank you for the gifts that are about to come forth for those who have and those who have desire. I pray that you return it, because your word says that if we give, you'll give back to us, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I thank you for the overflow of my brother and my sister. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You guys can come with your gifts.
You know my name. your presence I am made new. So now I pour out my heart to you. Here is
church, this morning we have the distinct privilege and honor to be hearing from our very own Pastor Frank Adams. Can you give him a hand as he comes this morning?
Well, good morning, everybody. God's a good God, amen? I'm fixing to get a pulpit out here. A lot of folks are using their tablets these days. It's not that I don't trust tablets, I don't trust myself. If it does anything up here like it does when I use it at home, sometime I have to go looking for all that stuff. But God's a good God, amen? As has been mentioned, my name is Frank Adams, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Brenda. And we are now residents of Edenton, and we're delighted to be here at Ahoskie and to be here at Carpenters Church International. I miss Pastor and Joy already this morning, don't you? That infectiousness that they kind of spread around. Well, let's give them a big hand clap this morning and let them know we love them and we miss them. Amen. My wife Brenda also is a speaker, and if you get the opportunity to be in one of her services, you certainly want to do it. My wife and I are home missionaries with Church Development Department out of Springfield, but we have the opportunity to come here and be among you and travel. Year before last, we spent the entire year on the road in our motorhome, and we visited 22 states, which means we got quite a few more to visit. But it was just supernatural how the Lord got us here, and we have just fallen in love before we ever came. We fell in love with Pastor and Joy, amen? And we love them and appreciate them. Thanks for all the singers, musicians. Thank you, we appreciate it very much. Let's open our hearts today, as we've already been exhorted to do. Let's open our heart today. We've opened it in worship. Now we want to come to the Lord, and let's open our hearts to His Word. Can you say amen? Lord, may I be receptive and vulnerable before Your Word. Father, may I hear Your Word as the Word of my Lord and Savior. May I hear Your Word as one who loves me and cherishes me and loves me and has proven that by His death on the cross and His resurrection. Holy Spirit, we open the door of this atmosphere. We open the door of this entire facility this morning to You and to Your truth and to the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We worship and adore You. We magnify You. We glorify You. Spirit of the living God, move in this place today. May Jesus be honored in everything that's said and done, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor is preaching a series of messages on Israel and the end times, particularly as it pertains to these days in which we're watching on our television all of the things that are transpiring in Israel and the conflicts that are going on there. And so Pastor's in that series, and he prefers, although he gave me freedom to preach whatever I wished, he preferred that I kind of stay in that flow with him. And so we're going to do that and try to avoid everything that he's going to be bringing to you in the days ahead. He's going to be talking about God's itinerary as the Lord comes and prepares us for the rapture, for our eternity with Him, and how that relates to Israel. And I think he is certainly the one that is competent and capable of doing that. And I don't want to get into that flow that he's going to be bringing to you, so I want to go to the end. And I want to talk to you today where it's all going. I tell you, I can understand why men's hearts are failing them because of fear. We don't know what's coming upon the world, but we do know that our God is overcomer and He enables us to overcome. Can you say amen? So I want to talk with you this morning from the Bible, Revelations chapter number 21. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5, Revelations 21, 1 through 5. Now, I'm not sure what translation Pastor uses, but I use in the English Standard Version, and so it might be a little different for you. But let's read together in Revelations chapter 21, and we'll begin in verse 1. The Apostle John made this observation: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." How many of you know there's some big changes coming? I'm not concerned about particularly of the economic situation, the political situation, because, my friend, we know where we're headed. We know who's in charge, and we know where God's taking us. Isn't it going to be something that ultimately, what are we looking for? Ultimately, what is God doing? Where is God taking us? My friend, in the days ahead, particularly in those days when Jesus begins to really activate His kingdom coming to this earth, my friend, basically we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Come on, everybody, say new heaven, new earth. Now, I want to tell you there's some profound changes that are taking place in our society and in our world and in our culture. But my friend, God's got some changes that He's going to initiate that are absolutely going to be cosmic and global. Can you say amen? Amen? Because the closer we get to that day, we're moving toward this reality that God is moving toward that time in which He creates a new heaven and a new earth. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, a new heaven and a new earth. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of preaching Your word this morning, to stand in the name of Jesus and to represent our Savior and to be able to speak Your word into the heart of Your people. Lord God Almighty, we've already declared that we open our hearts to You. We open the remainder of this service to Your Spirit. Guide us, speak through us. May Jesus receive glory, honor, and praise. Can you say amen? Amen. Verse 5 says, "And He who was seated on the throne said," I want you to get who's saying this, "And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to understand that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, when John was called up to heaven, when he saw the open door, and the Bible says that John was caught up into that third heaven or and into that place that God had called him to. And the first thing that he realized was that in the midst of that, the most prevalent item that you see is you see a single throne. Can somebody say amen? You see a throne, and on that throne sits an individual. And that individual is the great God Jehovah. Can you say amen? And so everything that God is saying, how many of you know that all life began from God? It began because he willed the world into existence, spoke it into existence, created it. He wanted to populate it with human beings, so he made you and I from the dust of the earth, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became living souls. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But God is saying that the day is coming, that God who is seated on the throne, a single throne, a single occupant of that throne, and a single decree that comes from the voice of him who sits on that throne, my friend, he is decreeing that this world is going to run its course. Then the time is coming. He's been prophesying it for hundreds of years. Several times in Isaiah, you hear him talk about a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. And the Bible says that God's going to do that. He declares and decrees. My friend, notice that he didn't check with the Senate. He didn't check with a committee. He didn't check with the authorities that might be on the earth. God simply has determined and decreed, I am going to make a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So we're looking forward one day to a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live for eternity with our God. The current heaven that our loved ones are in is called the third heaven, or paradise. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. No lingering time, no hesitation into the presence of the Lord. But the Bible teaches us that that particular heaven that we know as the third heaven, or paradise, we know that that is a temporary heaven, and that that whole entire eternity where our loved ones are living right now, who's gone on before us, my friend, that whole thing is going to come to earth. Can you say amen? When God makes a new heaven and a new earth. So the wonderful thing is that we're not going to live our existence as disembodied spirits. We're not going to be little fat chubby seraphims, come on church, just up on the clouds strumming our little ukulele. My friend, this earth belongs to God. The Bible says that God, that the heavens are the Lord, and he gave earth to the children of men, where we reign upon the earth as co-regents of God's kingdom in eternity. Come on church. And the Bible teaches us that we are God's people, and that we're headed to a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. So we're not going to be just disembodied spirits. Heaven's a real place. Heaven is actually a physical place. And when the Lord changes everything, and there's a new heaven and there's a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness, my friend, then we're going to be living on this earth. Can you say amen? This physical earth, transformed completely, restored and revived and purified and made holy like it was before sin entered it. And my friend, we're going to reign, and God is going to manifest his glory in that new heaven and new earth. We're going to be God's people. We're going to be the sheep of his pasture, and we're going to reign forever and ever with Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the current heaven is located, like Paul said, in that third paradise, and that we do have bodies. They're not disembodied. They get what theologians call a temporary or intermediate body, because when this new heaven and new earth comes, and we're going to get glorified bodies. Can you say amen? You talk about superpowers. We're going to have superpowers. We're going to have abilities beyond our natural abilities, and we're going to know things and do things and be able to accomplish things that we never thought we could do before. But that current heaven will give way, and the new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. Can somebody say amen? There's going to be a totally new Jerusalem. It's going to come down out of that place from heaven. If you have your Bible and like to turn there, let me just reemphasize, or we can see in the scripture where it is emphasized about how all of this is going to take place. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Listen to this. The Apostle Peter says, "But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly." But listen to me, church. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad Jesus didn't come back before July 28, 1968. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are in them are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? My friend, there's some, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know. Sometimes you can just wake up one morning like we did on 9/11 and turn the TV on and find that the whole world is thrust into a crisis of the magnitude that it was on that day. We didn't expect it. We weren't looking for it, but it happened. But my friend, I got a wonderful thing to you. In God's itinerary, God is going to bring all of it together. It's going to flow together. God's going to, one of the reasons I believe in heaven is because I believe in justice. And I believe when God comes, God's going to right every wrong. Can you say amen? He's going to bless everything that was done right, because God's the just judge of the whole earth. Can you say amen? Can you imagine living on an earth that has no sin, living in glorified bodies, in the presence, the constant visible presence of the Shekinah glory of God, and to know that we as God's redeemed people are headed there? Come on, church. This world as you see it is going to burn up. God's going to burn up everything in it. God's judgment will just disintegrate all of the evil. That fire that's going to come will purge it of its sin. Come on, somebody help me. And my friend, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, in which dwelleth righteousness, and everything that was messed up, God's going to fix it. Can you say amen? God's going to shout. I think one of the things God's going to say when He comes is, "Give me back my world." Amen. Give me back my people. Give me back my planet. This world was created for the glory of God, to manifest the glory of God, and to spread the glory of God all over the world. And God says, listen, the day is coming. There's going to be a lot of things happen maybe before then, but the day's coming. It's on God's calendar. He that sitteth upon the throne makes this decree, "Behold, I make all things new. I'm going to make a new planet. I'm going to make a new solar system. I'm going to have a new earth." And there's some debate on that word "new," whether it means to be renovated or totally replaced. I kind of lead toward making it new rather than total replacement. Just purge the sin out of it. Can somebody say amen? When God created the heavens and the earth, He said it's good. Can you say amen? Until sin entered. But my friend, you and I are headed somewhere. My friends, you and I have got a purpose. We've got an agenda. We've got a plane to catch, so to speak. What is that? My friend, we've been designed not to live off the crumbs of this world, but we understand we've been called to share in the glory of God, reveal the glory of God. Can you say amen? And God's going to put us back in our place that we were in before, and God's going to raise us up, and we're going to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? God says, behold, he that sitteth upon the throne says, I make all things new. I haven't called for a vote. I haven't checked with the legislators. I tell you, it is a divine decree from God that no men, no armies of this world can withstand. When that time comes and Jesus comes to bring judgment on the sins of this world, my friends, you and I are going to survive it, and we're going to live forever in a perfect new heaven and a perfect new earth where sin has not tainted it and it has not discolored the glory and the grace of God. Can somebody say amen? So my life, my friend, I'm not just staggering and wandering through this life. You're not just staggering aimlessly through this life. God has got a call on you. Why do you think the Bible says that God, Jesus said, I'm going to write a new name on them, and I'm going to put the name of my God and the name of the city of my God? Can you say amen? In other words, God says, I want to make sure that UPS gets you to the right place. Amen. I'm going to tag you. How many of you know all those? God knows all those that are his. Can you say amen? My friend, this whole world is not our home. Can I tell you something? This world, I don't care how many men get around the table. I don't care how many nations collaborate. I'm telling you, there is no peace except through the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Looking for that day when God says, this is a decree. I'm telling you, this will happen. And I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Can you say amen? We're waiting for that. We're looking for that new heaven and new earth in which dwells righteousness. The destiny of God's people is a physical destiny that's related and connected distinctly with this earth. If you want to ponder heaven, probably the best way to do that is simply look around you. We are seeing what we see right now in God's creation and God's wonder is splendid. Can you say amen? But sin has scarred that and skewed that. But my friend, when he makes that new heaven and new earth, how many of you know in which dwelleth righteousness, we're going to be part of that great city. Can you say amen? We're going to come to this earth. We're going to have physical bodies. They will be redeemed bodies. They'll be glorified bodies. They'll be spirit-filled bodies. Come on, church. And God's redeemed people will be on this earth, and we will fulfill the purposes of God. The Bible says in Psalm 15, or 115, verse 6, the heavens are the Lord's, but he's given earth unto man. My friend, God is going to restore man back to co-regents ruling upon this earth. And my friend, we're gonna live, we're going to serve him, but we're going to do it in a new heaven and a new earth. Can you say amen? That's why I think about these things. That's why some people say, well, you know, I if you think about heaven too much, then you wind up being so, if you think about heaven so much, you wind up being so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I want you to know, my friend, if those people who think most about heaven do the most for God on this earth. Can you say amen? See, church, I want to tell you something. It's wonderful to be comfortable in all the things that God has provided for us. But my friend, everything that you can see is temporal, and everything that you can't see is eternal. And we're headed for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible says that heaven is our new city. We have a citizenship in heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're on our way to heaven. We got the victory. Can you say amen? So we're looking for that. I just want you to know, I don't know if it's going to get better. I surmise that it's probably going to get worse in the wars and rumors of wars. But my friend, we're talking about catastrophic, global, cosmic things that are going to shift, and stars are going to fall from heaven, and everything's going to change as God purges this earth with His holiness and His fire. Can you say amen? What a day that's going to be when we stand before God and we're shining with the glory of a life that has been saved from that sin, and the glory of God reflecting through us. Can somebody say amen? My friend, you got to come out of this world. You got to be ready for that world. That's why I tell people all the time, I love material things. I love being taken care of. I love living good. I love a nice house. I love a good car. And all those sorts of things. But I want to tell you, my friend, everything I can see, touch, or taste, my friend, you're going to leave it here. See, here's the reality. We don't preach enough about this, but we need to understand that in this world, if everything you have is in this world, my friend, then you're among all men most miserable. See, God can give you good things to enjoy, but don't set your heart on them. Because, my friend, when it came time to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and God sent His angels to take His wife out, how many of you know that the Bible says that Lot's wife turned back towards Sodom? You know why she turned back? Because what she loved was in this world. Come on, church. Why do you think the Lord is getting us weaned off the things of this world? See, we're trying to win it. We're trying to get it. But I want to tell you, my friend, this old world is passing away and everything in it is going to burn up. But everything you do for God, come on, church, God's got it waiting on you, and God's going to bless you for it. Can you say amen? Let me go quickly because that clock back there really clicks fast. Maybe I can call for to reset the clock. You're doing football. But anyway, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Not only that, but this new heaven and this earth is going to include a new Jerusalem. Can somebody say amen? John said, I looked and I saw this new heaven, a new earth that God said He was going to come. And I looked up and I saw this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Can somebody say amen? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again so that where I am, there you may be also. Can you say amen? Now, this whole globe has been restored, reinvigorated, resaturated with the blood of Jesus, and is now holy before the Lord, having all that been burned up. But my friend, we're going to prevail. Can somebody say amen? We're going to be the ones that are there that have moved into that new heaven and a new earth. I'd love to tell you a lot about that city. That city is something we're going to be in. That Jerusalem's going to kind of be the capital. And that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, my friend, is quite a city. It says that it actually is approximately 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, and the city itself is 1,500 miles high. I think that's a pretty good capital for Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, man, there's pearls there and there's gold there. All of that is speaking in tangible ways that you and I understand it, that this place is going to be filled with the glory of God. Can you say amen? But it's coming out of that place. You know, planes fly. They level off about 30,000, 40,000 feet. Can you imagine that city being so splendid? Listen to me, it's going to be a city that is worthy of God. Can you say amen? What a wonderful thing. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new place, a new city, and God's going to dwell among us, and we'll fellowship with Him and walk with Him, and much like they did in the Garden of Eden. Can you say amen? Without sin, because God's going to purge this world. Can you say amen? But also, there's going to be a new you and a new me. Can you say amen? See, we talk about people who come into the sheepfold, come in by the door. How many of you know Jesus is the door? There's only one way into heaven, Only one way to God, that's through Jesus. But how many of you know in the world we got people coming up with all sorts of ways that you don't have to come through the door, but my friends, you can go over the wall. Come on, church. Oh, we got all kinds of false teaching. One of my favorite pastors in previous days is passing away. He used to be a pastor of mega church. He was known all over the world. And all of a sudden, he began to deny the realities of heaven and hell. Became a false prophet, and he began to say, Jesus is a way. The problem is, he's not the only way. I submit to you today that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Come on, can you say amen? Now listen to me. If you want to patronize and you want to be accepted and you want to be loved, then you stop saying that, because that's the one thing that makes people hate Christianity, is when you stand up and declare the exclusiveness of Jesus. Got one of the greatest pastors known in our nation there in Atlanta that just had a meeting of homosexuals and that sort of thing. And basically he came out, oh, he had a good word. He came out and he said, the church draws lines, but Jesus draws circles. And he's inclusive, which means it doesn't matter if you're homosexual, if you're a murderer, if you're a fornicator, an adulterer, God just draws that circle and brings you in. Listen to me, that ain't God. But when you say, listen to me, when you come in through that gate, oh, come on, church. You're going to come into the presence of God, and you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you say amen? And that's the thing that's going to make the people despise you and hate you. But, my friend, you can't change the message and have Christ include what he excluded in his ministry on the earth. Can you say amen? So, my friend, listen to me. We're looking for a great getting up morning. We're looking for a day when God's going to rapture his church. My friend, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. That holy city, the new Jerusalem, is going to come down out of heaven. And Jesus is going to be with us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come on, church, somebody say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, this old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I do not care whatever others do. Can you say amen? Well, I see now I'm not going to be on the worship team. But God's a good God. Can you say amen? I'm going to close with something here, and I want you to turn, and I want you to look at this, and I want you to be serious with me for just a moment as we close. Look at Revelation chapter number 6, latter part of that. Here's what I want to say to the church. Church, we got to come to the place where we reassess our values and we start getting an eternal perspective. That eternal perspective gives us grace to face whatever we're going to face. But my friends, there's rough times out there. I've been married 55 years, and I've had 55 years of rough times. But bless God, I'm the better for it. Can you say amen? But you've got to go through this vision casting in your mind. And you've got to understand, this world's not your home. We're headed somewhere else. Let me read this real quickly, and then I'll close and be obedient. The Bible says in Revelation 6:12, when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the skies fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Now watch this. In the midst of all this cosmic upheaval, then the kings of the earth, and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and even the slave and the free hid themselves in the caves among the rocks and of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on that throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And then he asked this question at the end of that verse, and who can stand? Who's going to be able to stand in God's presence, accepted in the Beloved? Or will we be like these folks? They were rich, they were generals, they were politicians, they were all sorts of folks. My friend, I wonder what these people are going to do when their Lamborghini melts in the fervent heat of God's judgment. I wonder what we're going to do. My friend, here they are. I think there's some politicians in this crowd calling out for the rocks to fall on them. They're even the rich, the poor, whatever. They're calling out those rocks to fall upon them. Hide us from the face. And then he says, who can stand? I'm going to tell you who can stand. It tells you in the next chapter, chapter 7, the sealed and the saved, they're going to be able to stand. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're going to be able to stand in the presence of God because we're going to stand there and we're going to say, Lord, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to plead my cause. The only thing I have is you. Amen. But I'm telling you, some cosmic shakings are coming, and it's time that it begins at the house of the Lord. It's time that we be shaken from our love and our being enamored with the world and the people of this world. My friend, there's coming a day when there's going to be a new planet, there's going to be a new people, there's going to be a new place where we meet with God and live God and live out our daily lives. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I think about, the Bible says in Adam, God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine God coming out to your wheat field or your peanut field or whatever and walking with you? Can you say amen? Here's the question. Are you ready? And are you willing to sell out and say goodbye to everything but Jesus? If God adds something to me, thank you, Lord. But I don't want to set my heart on it. Can you say amen? See, materialism leads to idolatry. God can give us plenty of money. God can give us big houses, big cars. But my friend, don't set your heart on them. Can you say amen? Now here's my question. I know what the world's going to do, but here's my ministry. My ministry is to the church. My ministry is to say to the church, are you ready? Are you too comfortable in this world? Do you have one foot in the world and the other foot out of the world? One of the longest chapters in the book of Revelation is when God destroys Babylon. And then the last verse in that chapter, the Lord says, come out from among them, my people. God is saying to his church, God is saying to his people, get ready. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not that unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Can you say amen? Jesus is coming. There's going to be a total transformation of life as we know it. But he's coming after a people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who are following what God tells us in Jesus' name. I've learned a new concept of grace today. Grace is when they stop the clock. Can you say amen? They're not pushing me. Usually it's flashing. Most places I go. But my friend, God is here. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you about your preparation. The thing that motivates me after all these years is the Bible said, blessed is he that when the Lord comes, He finds doing. Are you ready for a new heaven and a new earth? Are you ready for a new glorified body, a new relationship with Jesus? My friend, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. Can somebody say amen? My friend, God's looking for soldiers, not vacationers. Can you say amen? My friend, you are not a passenger on a cruise ship. You are the crew. Can somebody say amen? So men are going to be men, women are going to be women, and we're going to serve God all the days of our life. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Thank you for your grace this morning. God is a good God. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not absolutely certain of your situation before God, it's a wonderful chance this morning to come and just a moment and get your heart right with God. Keep that heart right with God, because He's coming at an hour when you think not. Can you say amen? Take your wife home, or just go by your house yourself and walk around and look at stuff and say, honey, can we leave it? Can we walk out in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Can we leave it? Or does it have our heart? Or does He who's coming and making all things new, does He have my heart? Lord, whether I'm prosperous or poor, healthy or unhealthy, let me be ready when you come. Can somebody say hallelujah? Come on, give the Lord a great big praise in Jesus' name. I want to ask our ministers if they'll come real quickly and stand. If you're here this morning, my friend, I'd like to just say something to those that just are aware that maybe you've backslidden a little bit. My friend, come home today. My friend, make a declaration by coming forward and saying, I'm not turning back. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing forward. I'm going to be ready for it all when Jesus comes. Can somebody say amen? Come quickly if you will. These folks will be glad to pray for you. But church, listen, if you're backslid, get right with God. Get right with God. Come to this altar and let's pray in Jesus' name. Come quickly. Hallelujah. Just come. These folks will pray with you. If you've got some other needs, these folks will pray with you. My friend, Jesus is coming. It's going to be cosmic upheaval. It's going to give way to a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, let's open our heart to Him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let me be.
Hallelujah. I want us to do something as these folks continue to pray. I want you, if you would, to just join me at this altar for our closing prayer. And I want you to come as a body, as a church. Let's come and lift our voice up in concert and cry out to God. God, get us ready. God, get us ready for the change that's coming. God, wake us up, stir us up. Would you do that? Just come. You don't have to come to an altar worker. Let's just all the church, come on down if you will, if you feel comfortable too. We're going to close in prayer. Come on, let's pray together. Come on, let's pray together. Hallelujah. Come right on down. Just stand right around here. Come on in. Come on in. Come on, just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. We're going to praise you. Hallelujah.
My words fall short when I look at you.
Oh, oh, oh. I come alive.
I come alive, loving you.
I'm overwhelmed.
Say something just real quickly. I appreciate these singers so much. They're one of the reasons we came. We fell in love with them, fell in love with Pastor Wallace. But listen to me, the Holy Spirit is putting us on notice. You're my disciple, follow me. And learn to distinguish between what's a mixture of this world and what really you're pursuing. My friend, learn to discern when you look at people who flaunt their wealth and their sin and just ask yourself the question, I wonder if they're going to be in that crowd that cries for the rocks to fall on them. Are you going to be there welcoming him? My friend, God's getting his church ready. If you're part of the church, you're going to start feeling some of his dealings. Amen. I want us to do a little something today, and I want you to help me now. Don't you embarrass me. But we used to have this thing that we used to do years ago called concert of prayer. If you remember, they would pray, and everybody prayed at the same time. Well, that's biblical, especially if you're in prison and you want out. They wanted Peter out, so what do? They gather, and they all lift up their voice. I want us to lift up our voice in sincerity before God. I want us to cry out to God and thank him for our destiny. And I want us to cry out to God and ask him to help us to keep that heart open. Get us ready. Amen. So we're among the sealed and the saved. Can you say amen? So we can be there. Now, I want you to just lift your voice. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about me. Let's just everybody lift our voice up to God and let's cry out to God for this church and for this community. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody lift your voice. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord. Father God, we ask you for revival in Ahoskie. Lord, we ask for salvation of souls. Lord God Almighty, we pray for a people that are after your heart in this house. Oh, Father God, we call to you. We cry out to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, break every fetter. Break everything that binds the church. Release us. Set us free. Revival come. Revival fires come. Come on, cry out with me. Revival fire come. Revival fire come. Oh, glory to God. Purge me. Purge me. Purify me. Make me whole unto my God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Come on, church. Somebody give him a big praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory.
Took lightly, because the Lord is coming, and I don't know about anybody else, but I want to go when he comes back. Amen. Amen. Listen, we thank you guys so much for worshiping with us this morning. We pray that you have a blessed week. May the Lord keep you and cover you. Don't forget about the incredible events we have coming up. The Christmas Women's Gala on December 2nd and the Christmas Sing-Along here at our church December 10th. We love you guys so, so much. Have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday. Amen.